noon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Relatively on time. That's what you get on a Thursday.
Hey, look at us. It feels a real Friday feel to me.
Like, I know why. I can tell you why that is.
Why?
Because tomorrow you and I have a bit of a short show.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that leads to that feeling. Because it's like, tomorrow's easy.
All day today I've been thinking that it's Friday. And
it's not.
Yeah, it keeps throwing me for a loop.
It's not Friday, dude.
No,
it's Thursday. So focus. Get your Thursday focus on.
See what I can do.
Yeah, we're here sportsing for you guys. Yeah, tomorrow we're short because the Ducks basketball team is on.
You are correct, sir. And I think it's a huge game too.
Who are they playing?
Are they playing Duke?
Go Ducks.
Or was it Kentucky? UConn. No. Wait. I think it's like the Sister Mary of the Poor.
I feel like it's Eastern Washington.
Eastern,
but close.
Washington.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
I was close, right?
They scored 34 points in a full game against Syracuse to open their season.
Did Whoa. They really?
Yeah, they scored 10 in the first half.
What was the final score?
66-34, something like that.
All right, so you're saying they're really coming out of the gate hot. Some big competition. Portland State and then Eastern Washington.
That's a sticky situation.
Well, anyway, coming up, Jason Quick, 5:30, brought to you by, you know, he has a sponsor now.
Of course he does.
It's Change.
Jason damn Quick.
Change Realty.
Or should I say Jace?
So Jace will be on at 5:30. We'll get into the Blazers. Jason Quick covering the Blazers now for The Athletic. And so what is going on with the Blazers? What the hell?
Red hot and rolling.
What else do we have? Some Alabama numbers. They have set the odds on if Alabama played the world in football.
Cue every college idiot thinking that they can beat NFL teams, by the way.
We'll have that for you next. In the club tonight, a man wants to legally change his age.
Look, I'm intrigued by this. I feel like this man is a pioneer, and he's doing the Lord's work for all of us.
Have you seen a lot of those migrant caravan folks? A lot of those people are being plucked out of thin air into human trafficking.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So should I be more terrified or less terrified?
That's for you to decide.
Well, I'm been told that it's going to be the end of us and me.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's true. But a lot of these people are just like vanishing out of thin air.
You don't think it's true. That means it is true, you snowflake.
We also have audio of the teacher punching the student.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
This story is just good.
So that'll be in the club from 6 to 7. Right now, I'm feeling a little weird about it, but I think we're ready to go. Oh, wait, no, we're not. I have a giveaway. Prize bribes.
There you go.
The fourth caller right now wins a pair of tickets to Ozzy Osbourne at Moda Center on July 16th. Call 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080. Write me out. Fourth caller. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com.
That's the train to Crazy Town.
Yes.
Not to be
yes.
confused with the train to Christmas Town. Very different special guests between Ozzy and Christmas Town.
And we will have more tickets for that show to give away tomorrow as well.
Although if you were on the train to Christmas Town and Megadeth showed up, I suppose that would be a very special guest.
Yeah. I guess so.
Dave Mustaine, as opposed to Santa, showing up on the Christmas train.
Right now, it's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Panda, 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 panda.
Yeah, we still hood famous.
Number five.
Where to begin?
So much sports.
So much sports. Notre Dame undefeated. They are number three in the college football playoff rankings, but now they lose their quarterback. Ian Book is out against Florida State.
Yeah, took a shot to the ribs. against Northwestern, and so they will turn to the mighty Winbush.
Yeah, whoever that is.
Well, he was their starting quarterback the first game, or the first three games of the year. They did beat Michigan with him at quarterback. Dude's got a huge arm, but he's really inaccurate, and he makes bad decisions, and they gave him the heave-ho. And once they did, their offense has doubled their output under Book.
Well, it's a good thing the Seminoles are a crap-filled diaper. They rank 107th in total offense under Willie Taggart, and that is behind Kansas. Book should be back for the Syracuse game next week. That game, fun fact, will be played at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, this is where they released new uniforms. The Notre Dame squad will be wearing like pinstriped Yankee pants, but regular Notre Dame jerseys. It's a horrific look.
God, how Number fired up four. Will Mike be about that?
Notre Dame's first loss of the season incoming.
Mike will have a sports bone.
The 7-2, soon to be 8-2, Syracuse, not orange men, just orange.
Good one tonight on Thursday Night Football. 5-2-1 Steelers host the 6-2 Panthers. Pittsburgh's defense hasn't given up over 21 points in the last four games. They've won all of those. Carolina scoring this year with Norv Turner as their OC. Cam Newton on pace for his first season with a plus 100 quarterback rating. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown cited for reckless driving last night. He was cruising past a Crime Stopper at over 100 miles per hour, so there's that.
Yeah, but he wasn't drunk. There was no drugs or anything. He's just driving fast. He got a ticket. I don't know why everyone's freaking out about that.
Well, I'm not freaking out. Does it look like I'm freaking out?
I just heard some people like, no word on whether or not he's going to play. Really? He's not going to play because he got a speeding ticket? Something tells me he'll play.
Probably a pretty good call.
Yes. Mike Tomlin's going to go a hard ass on this one. He's going to crack down on excessive speed.
Mariners traded catcher Mike Zunino last night. He and outfielder Guillermo Heredia and left-handed pitcher Michael Plasmeier go to Tampa Bay. Our Rays.
Yes.
Seattle gets a new starting center fielder in return, Malik Smith.
Who they already had previously. He was on their roster and they got rid of him.
Smith hit nearly 300 with 40 steals last season. He's only 25. The M's also get 23-year-old outfielder Jake Fraley. He played college ball at LSU. Now, this past season, he hit almost 350 in high A ball, but he was not among the Rays' top 30 prospects. One other Mariners note, they have hired Paul Davis as their pitching coach, and he is a pitching analytics manager from the Cardinals.
Huh.
So he's never really been a coach.
He's just a numbers cruncher.
Yeah, the GM, DePoto, says that this guy has a tremendous understanding of mechanics, but also the balance to make evidence-based decisions.
Well, DePoto is a big analytics guy, so that kind of makes sense.
Number two. New look Clippers, 6-4 as they enter the Moda Center tonight to take on your Portland Trailblazers. The Clippers' top six scorers from 2 years ago are all gone. It's a brand new roster, and it's not that bad. They rank fifth in the NBA in field goal percentage defense. They're seventh in defending the three. Now, they are going to be without Avery Bradley and Luke Mba Mutai due to Luke Mba Mutai. Tomato, tomato. Those guys are hurt. Leading scorer on that team is Tobias Harris, and he apparently is sick and did not participate in shoot-around today. He may not play as well.
I feel like the Blazers, the last, like, 2 to 3 years.
It's a charmed life.
They are just on a roll.
Until they get swept in the playoffs.
Not going to happen.
It's a charmed life.
Not going to happen. Not with this bench. Not with Zach Collins.
Maurice Harkless remains out for Portland. We'll have more on his injury coming up with Jason Quick. Locally, Timbers Sounders tonight. They start at 7:30. And then one other NBA note, Tyson Chandler was bought out by the Suns.
He's going to join the Lakers, right?
Yeah, he goes to L.A. If you care. I like him. I've always liked him as a player.
He's a lot old. Like,
he's an old dude.
Yeah, he's an old.
But he's a big.
Number one.
And Oregon football gets another break.
Yeah, this is huge.
Yeah, first the Utah quarterback got hurt. And now Utah's star running back is out for Saturday's game in Salt Lake City. His name is Zach Moss. He suffered a knee injury in yesterday's practice, and he could be done for the season.
Well, that's the report that we've been hearing, that he is going
You're
to
doing
be
doing great.
Well, I did that one on purpose because I screwed up the first one. Yeah, the report is, though, that they're saying this is probably an ACL and that he's done for the year. This is a huge break for Oregon. I mean, first off, once Huntley went down against Arizona State, their offense did nothing. They got a field goal and then shut out the rest of the third quarter and the fourth, couldn't even move the ball. And so the belief was is that they were just going to turn around and hand it to Moss. Utah has a good offensive line. They run the ball well, and they would just try to shorten the game and pound the rock. But Moss is one of the best players in the Pac-12, and so now you're really without your entire offense when you're talking about the two best players on it. It's a huge break for Oregon going down to Utah.
Hey, we're
going to
talk more about this coming up in our next segment, so stick around for that. We'll also have some Bama numbers. One other Oregon note, their basketball team got a verbal from four-star center Isaac Johnson, 6'11 kid, ranked in the top 70, but he is going to be going on a mission, so he won't play for the Ducks until 2021.
Yeah, they chose he chose them over a couple schools, including BYU. So that leads you to believe that the whole
yeah, he's white.
He's a white guy.
BYU, Gonzaga, and Ohio State. He chose Oregon. So there you go. There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. Jason Quick on the Blazers in about 15 minutes. College football next on The Fan.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Jason Quick of The Athletic will join us at 5:30. Maurice Harkless is out again tonight. How long is he going to be out? The latest on him.
I just feel like we're waiting for the surgery announcement.
I know, right? Feels like that. But big news out of the Oregon-Utah game. Big game for Oregon this weekend going to Utah. They are slight underdogs out there. Their running back for the Utes, Zach Moss, he is one of just four Utah rushers to hit 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah.
He's a beast, man. He's averaging 6.1 yards per carry.
He's third in the Pac-12 yards per game behind Benjamin in Arizona State and then Taylor out of Arizona.
And then that puts him seventh in the nation.
Yep.
And he was on pace to set a lot of Utah records. He's a stud.
And I think
he is a workhorse.
And I think he's tied for first, or maybe it's tied for second, in touchdowns. Like, he's got 11 or 12 11. Touchdowns on the year, too.
He is 11. He's an impact guy for sure. And he went down in practice yesterday, and he is not going to play Saturday.
No, might be out for the rest of the year.
This is a huge, huge loss for Utah since their quarterback, Tyler Huntley, went down last week.
Yeah, so, if you're Oregon, you don't want to win games this way. I mean, no one wants to root for anyone to be hurt. But we were talking about this with the Blazers, seemingly the last couple of years, every time Portland plays someone, they're without their big studs. And you lose your quarterback in Utah. And really, his emergence was the reason why Utah all of a sudden had kind of, you know, found some life and looked like what we thought may be the best team in the Pac-12. But you lose him, you go to a redshirt freshman who's never started a game before. And so you assumed, we had Tom Hacken on, sideline reporter for the Utes. And what did he say? They don't want just Jason Shelley throwing the ball downfield. They're going to turn around and try to play defense and run the football with Moss and just make this a short, condensed game. And you don't even have that anymore. So, look, I think Oregon going down there, even with Huntley, I thought this was a toss-up game. I thought this was a very tough matchup, but one that I don't think necessarily Oregon was dreading. But now I honestly don't feel like there's an excuse for Oregon to lose this game. This is a game you have to win now when you're talking about your two most, and really maybe the only two dynamic players on your offense being out for Utah.
Yeah, you got to think Jim Leavitt is just licking his chops.
Yes.
He was already licking his chops, you know, with the unknown at quarterback. But now he's like, whoa, he can get aggressive.
Yes, absolutely. They should get aggressive with this. And I don't think necessarily you have to stack the box. I mean, their second leading rusher was their quarterback, was Huntley. And then after that, I was kind of looking up their next guy. So Moss has 179 carries. Huntley had 108. Their next guy is this, Shine, Armad Shine? He's got 37 carries. So, you know, he's a junior, so it's not like he's even like a young, unproven guy. I mean, their entire offensive production is out of this football game.
Wow, that would bode well for Oregon. They need it. They need that win.
And their top receiver is the little, Britton Covey, who's more of a possession sort of guy, not a guy that's really a field stretcher there. So, there just shouldn't be a whole lot about this offense that scares you now if you're Oregon. So you're right. Get aggressive with it. Put some pressure on the freshman.
Yeah.
Hopefully
unleash the beast, man.
Yeah, hopefully get him into some uncomfortable situations. And then on the other side of it, you know, this is going to be a tough matchup because up until Arizona State, Utah had been playing great defense. Probably the second best in the entire conference. So the Arizona State game, is that an outlier? Because Arizona State kind of ran wild on them and actually, you know, had big plays and was able to run the ball, and no one had really done that against Utah all year. Even against Washington State, I think Utah held them to 21. They just couldn't score against them. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup. If this ends up being like a defensive, low-scoring affair, you know, maybe turnover, special team sort of battle now, because I would have to believe Utah has got to get real conservative with their offense.
Yeah, I'm looking at Oregon statistically. They are 52nd in the nation against the run. And, boy, did I pass them? Yeah, 104th against the pass this year.
Really?
Yeah, that's yards.
Yeah.
So it's not everything. But, yeah, they so, yeah, it's... Seems like a good matchup now that we know that the Huntley and Moss are out.
Yeah.
But it could also be one of those games where you go, there's no excuse, and then all of a sudden, like, some guy comes out of nowhere and rushes for 240 yards.
Someone said that on the Better You Today text line. Like, oh, we've been down this road before. The backup will now run for 350 right. yards.
Well, it happens. It's so weird.
Sure. Sure it does. But we kind of said this, too, about Arizona. I didn't think there was any reason to be worried about the Arizona game going down there. And not only did Arizona beat you, but they took you behind the woodshed and spanked you. But Arizona, I think there's a difference in going down and playing an Arizona team that is playing better and that was getting healthy versus a team that just got done really struggling and didn't look good at all. I don't know how much you saw of it, but didn't look good at all against Arizona State. And now we're without basically their entire offense.
Better You Today text line 55305 RJ, big duck fan, says, don't you worry, Oregon perfectly capable of finding a way to lose this. And deal is in. He says, things not looking good in Utah. Any word on if Gary Anderson is thinking about leaving midway through the game? Wow.
Go Panthers, the Gare Bear.
He is. I don't think he's their defensive coordinator. I think he's their defensive line coach down there.
Yeah. He hadn't quit yet?
No, I don't think he's quit yet. And this is what someone said. This Utah game, it reeks of the game against Texas Christian with their backup. That is true. Yeah.
The Ducks were up by 30.
Yeah, up by 30. And then the backup, like, walk-on kid came in and started slinging it around.
Why do things like that happen?
I don't know.
Shouldn't happen.
No.
Damn
no,
it.
No, they shouldn't. I'll go on record. I like.
But you said it. Isn't Utah the best defense in the league?
Utah is one of the two best defenses. Yeah. Depending on what metric you're looking at. But, yes, it's one of the two best. I think scoring defense, I think it's number two. I think Washington is still number one. But I want to say they're giving up like 17, 18 points a game. Although Arizona State put up, I think, 28 against them. We'll go ahead and pull that up and see where we're at. Defensive points.
I'll wait.
Yeah, you just wait. Just
you want to know the odds on Alabama playing all the top teams?
They're second. Washington is number one. Washington's only giving up 16 points a game. How the hell have they lost three games? And then Utah's coming in at 19, and that is with the bad performance against Arizona State. Oregon, middle of the road, Oregon's eighth. They're giving up 28 a game.
All right, well.
Yeah, what are the Bama odds?
Yeah, don't take anything for granted in that game. But
but
things
Oregon,
got a little easier.
Oregon should win. This is a game that I just feel like a lot of times people make excuses, and there's no excuse. It's not as if Utah's some sort of juggernaut. Arizona State just got done kicking their ass. If you are supposed to be one of the better teams in the conference, and yeah, road games are tough, and you know Salt Lake can be a tough place to go play. It's in a little bit of altitude, but without your entire offense, there's no excuse for Oregon to lose this game. They need to go in there and win.
So they put out the odds: Alabama, what the Vegas point spread would be if they played Clemson, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Central Florida.
Is Clemson's at least somewhat close?
Well. It depends on if you think 8.5 is somewhat close.
Okay, so that's I think that's reasonable.
8.5.
I think that's the only team, at least right now, that appears that they could give Alabama that you it would give you pause. If you said Clemson, Alabama, neutral field next week, I don't think that's a gimme game.
So it goes in this order: Clemson is the closest. Next is Michigan.
Okay, I can see that.
14. Bama favored by 14.
Yeah, I think there's a belief that maybe their defense could keep it close, but can't score enough points to deal with them.
Alabama would be favored by 20.5 over Notre Dame. That's a lot.
I think I
would take Alabama.
I think I would take Alabama and lay the points.
And how about Alabama, Central Florida?
I'm guessing that's, you said 20 against Notre Dame?
20.5.
I'll go 26. 6 against Central Florida?
31.
31 point favorites.
Yeah.
I don't think I would touch that one.
I would take Alabama.
If you forced me to, I too would take Alabama.
It'd be close for maybe a quarter, and then the final score would be 44-7. That's yeah. What's up.
Not if you ask Central Florida. Central Florida was national champs last year, and they'll be national champs this year when they go undefeated.
They did beat Auburn last year.
They did.
And then Alabama, somebody, I think it was Westgate, put a point spread on if they played the Buffalo Bills, which, by the way, kind of unfair to the Bills. They're not the worst team in the NFL. The worst team in the NFL is Oakland.
Yeah.
Is only won one game.
The Bills have two, right?
The Bills won twice. They won at Minnesota. Their quarterback's hurt.
Yeah.
Still, actually, both of them.
Even with Nathan Peterman.
And they traded the other one. But they've got this Peterman guy, who we don't really call a quarterback, but no. I mean, you can't win games with that guy.
Someone's there, right? Someone has to take the snaps. Go Wildcat.
Buffalo would be favored by 28.5 points over Alabama.
And I would go ahead and lay the 28.5 points.
Wow, with Peterman. You're betting on Peterman, are you?
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. You could set that at 35, and I think I would still take Buffalo. You'd have to get
40.
Yeah, 40. Maybe they take their foot off the gas. Maybe. I'd consider that. It's anyone that doubts an NFL team against a college football team, I'm not even going to say that you're dumb. You're just ignorant. You just don't understand the difference between the two.
Didn't we determine that it would be a good matchup, though, with a CFL team?
Yes, a CFL team would be much better.
Against Bama?
Yes. It would be
tough.
It would be tough. The CFL team would still win.
You think so?
Yeah.
I thought you said that you thought maybe the SEC team would win because they have future NFL level stars, whereas CFL has more balance,
I still think
a good roster, but
it would be a good game. I think I would still take the CFL team.
Lesser talent. They should. That'd be a blast. I'd love to watch that.
Problem is you can't pay the college football players.
Well, yes, you can.
Well, you do already.
Ask Balls Bowen or whatever that guy's name is.
Balls.
What's his dad's name?
Did you just say Balls?
What's Bowen's dad's name?
Tugs.
Tugs Bowen.
I forget. I thought
Tugs was the nickname of the kid.
No.
No, it's the dad. The dad is Tugs. Yeah. I think both of them are Brian. I think Tugsy. It's Brian Bowen Senior and Junior, but the dad goes by Tugs.
And here's one last little factoid that'll make you throw up. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Nick Saban has more national championships than home losses.
What? Ah! In his career at Alabama?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He has more national championships than home losses.
Freaking Nick Saban.
How you feel about that? You're speechless.
He clearly has sold his soul to Satan, and I can appreciate that.
Jason Quick on the Blazers next. Here's Mike.
Talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee. You know,
all right, the Blazers host the Clippers tonight. Clippers are 6-4, but they've got a few injuries. Avery Bradley's out. And we're going to get the latest here on Tobias Harris. Here is Jason Quick from the arena, live. Hello.
What's up, fellas?
Is Tobias Harris going to play?
Haven't heard yet.
Okay. I know he's sick, and he didn't participate in shoot around. So what was the deal with CJ? So he goes off for 40. What do you think was going on with him now? I mean, it's not a different role per se, but it was... You know, he didn't have the ball in his hands as much. Was there an adjustment period there? What was going on in his head, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think he got a lot of his stats last year when he was directing that second unit, when the ball was in his hands and he could decide if he wanted to pass and shoot. And I think that's one of the main reasons why they went away from that and put Evan Turner into that role this year, was because they didn't like the ball movement last year. They felt that CJ dribbled too much and was a little bit of a ball hog, and it stagnated the offense. So it was an adjustment for him this early on in this season, I think, to figure out how to get his shots more readily. And I think last game they did put the ball in his hands a little bit more. And I think part of that was Dame knew that CJ had been struggling, not struggling, but it hadn't been himself. And so they ran some sets where CJ had the ball in his hands a little bit more, and that helped generate some of the shots.
Well, it just goes to show you, too, that when he gets going, I mean, for all the crap he takes, and I think he does get some flack, when he's on as a pure scorer, he may be a better pure scorer than Damian Lillard is.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, the shots that he has in his bag are it's pretty impressive. And, you know, I tweeted this. I don't know that there's a more aesthetically pleasing player when he's on than CJ. You know, just the floaters, the step backs, the crossovers, all that kind of stuff. When he has it and he's feeling it, it's really something to watch. But that's what this team needs. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that their inability to get a free agent or to make a trade, the improvement is going to have to come from within. And he needs to elevate himself where he's at least in the conversation for being an all-star. You know, the last 2 years, he's been a good player, but he's never even sniffed being thrown into that conversation of being an all-star. And I think this year, if they're going to talk about, you know, winning a playoff series, advancing, and being a factor, he needs to play at that level where he's scoring, you know, 25, 26 points a game, and where he becomes kind of a national story, a nationally known player. I think NBA fans really know him, but I don't know if, you know, a fan in Oklahoma City really kind of appreciates CJ McCollum. So I think he needs to elevate his game to where we saw him against the Bucks, if this team is going to be really good. And it was refreshing to hear him after the game. He told me, hey, if we're going to be take that next level, I have to be great. And that's some pretty good self-awareness. Now he's got to do that on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, I think he's an interesting guy because of that. And you're right. Like, they've got to get more out of him. But at the same time, he's been a prolific scorer. And, you know, he scored 40 the other night. So I guess my question would be, what other areas are we looking for CJ McCollum to improve in that would ultimately help the team get further in the postseason?
Well, obviously, number one is his defense. His defense, he has not taken that jump defensively that Damian Lillard has. You know, I think Dame really last year made that a point of emphasis. And you can see just Dame's effort, and you can see the results. I mean, he's just getting more steals, getting more deflections. And CJ needs to take that jump as well. But also, secondly, is he needs to pass more. He needs to be a more willing passer. And I think that's tough for him because he gets a lot of his shots off the dribble. He needs to break down guys. And but I think Terry Stotts and the staff would like to see him, as he's dribbling, maybe look for teammates a little bit more. You know, it was told to me in the offseason that that was one of the things brought up to CJ in his exit interviews, that you had a very poor passing season. And we'd like to see you come back and have more of an eye for that, of hooking up teammates, because that becomes contagious when you see stars or offensively gifted players sharing the ball more. I think that it bodes well for everyone on the team, because people don't just stand around when CJ gets the ball, because I think that's what we saw last year, particularly with the second unit. There was a lot of standing around because they're like, he's not going to pass it. You know, he's out there doing his stuff. So I think those two things, defense and being a more willing passer, and he can really take that next step.
Yeah, it's a nice way of saying he's got that, you know, he's got that kind of NBA selfish streak. Like, you know, I got to get my stuff. I got to show what I can do. And so he needs to tailor that a little bit. But what you last week, go ahead.
I think one of the worst things that the team has done, that the Blazers have done, is their social media team has done that CJ special victims unit, where, you know, when he does break someone's ankles or make someone fall, they publicize it and have given it a name. And I think that gets in his head, because I think a lot of times with CJ, looking good has been just as important as getting results. And I think the more he gets the team into his thinking, more along how Dame looks at the team. Dame, I think, has a very good approach as far as, hey, this is all about the team. How can I make the team better? And I think CJ is still, I don't want to say he's selfish, because he's definitely not selfish, but he's definitely a,
first.
Isn't that the NBA? Yeah, everyone knows exactly. You get paid in the NBA and you get endorsements, you get shoe deals, you get recognition based off of what you do with the basketball in your hands.
Yeah, but I think there you see it where eventually players reach a point in their career where the money, the endorsements, the fame doesn't matter, and winning becomes paramount. And it's always interesting to see when players hit that. And it's usually around this time, 26, 27 years old, where they've gotten their big contract, they've gotten their shoe endorsements, they've been in commercials, and then they're like, hey, what's left? Winning. And how do I become a better player to help my team win? And it'll be interesting to see if CJ makes that graduation.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. This is Jason Quick of The Athletic every Thursday here on The Fan, brought to you by Change Realty. Sticking on CJ for just one more. Last week we profiled Damian Lillard. You had that big profile on him and mm-hmm. what makes him a leader and stuff. CJ, I don't know. He's a little bit more of an enigma in terms of just what people know about him and what makes him tick. What does make him tick? Have you had a chance to really dig into him much?
Yeah, he's really tough. And he and I go back and forth on this. I'm all about emotion and inner feelings and all that kind of stuff that make players tick. And he is very much about stats. He says, I don't get caught up in emotions. I don't show emotion because that can fluctuate. Your emotions fluctuate. Stats and analytics, all of that is steady. And the thing I will say about CJ is I don't know if anyone outworks him. I mean, Dame's a pretty good worker, and this team has a lot of hard workers, but no one outworks CJ. And I know that's really cliche. It sounds cliche, but it's true. I mean, he is telling guys after a game, you know, grabbing a coach saying, hey, can you be at the facility at 9 tomorrow? I want to get up some shots. He is obsessed with working and trying to perfect his craft, as he says it. And he keeps all these stats. He subscribes to all these analytics and stats. And he told me last year that he goes home and writes down each shot and how he caught it and where his hands were on the ball. And he details it that much. So he's really fanatical about the little intricacies of the game, but he doesn't get caught up and showing his emotion and letting people in, because he somehow views that as a weakness or as something that's more volatile.
It's interesting because Lillard seems almost the exact opposite of that. He's very emotional and plays the emotional chip and all that. Mm-hmm. Yet they seem to have such a good rapport.
Yeah, they are very tight. The thing that they both have in common is they have an immense desire to prove people wrong. They feel like they were slighted as kids coming up. You know, they weren't highly rated. They weren't highly recruited. They went to small schools, and you know they play that big time.
All right, Maurice Harkless is not going to play again. What's going on there?
Are we just waiting for the surgery now?
I would think so. I mean, this is 7 straight games now. This is all stemming from a minor procedure back in March. It was just a cleaning out of his left knee. And here we are 7, almost 8 months now, and it's still bothering him. He played a little bit this year, but they had to pull him back. So he told me that they've done MRIs and there's no structural damage. So it's got to be, I guess, just a severe case of tendonitis, or I don't know. The team is not saying anything about it. they won't give us updates. They won't say anything. And Maurice is being pretty tight-lipped about it as well. But boy, I think I said this in the preseason that this is a major story for this team because Maurice changes this team. I mean, Jake Lehman, they're getting by with it right now, but eventually when they start playing some really high octane offenses, Maurice is so important defensively. Him and Al-Farouq Aminu together, the way they can switch, it changes this team. And the way he can get out on a break, this isn't a big fast break team, but he's one of those guys that can get out and ignite a fast break. So I think it's really important for him to get back, but this does not look good. It doesn't look good at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, wings are at a premium now.
Yeah,
because of all the offense in this league and having to close out on different types of guys with all these stretch guys and boy,
wings who can defend are big.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, like him and Aminu are so important because everybody's stretching the floor and you got to close out and you got to switch on to guys that different size guys, and that's why he's so important. I was looking at the defensive rating and the Blazers are fifth in the league. Yet it doesn't feel like their defense has been that great. I mean, with all this scoring in the league now, and it's been an eruption, is there sort of a new norm for judging defense?
Well, I think everyone, first of all, they were 11th in defensive rating before the Minnesota game, and the Minnesota scored 81 and they jumped up 6 spots. That tells you that's probably a little too early and things are a little too fluid. But I still think the league is getting used to the new rules and the new pace. And I think we'll have, you know, it used to be 100 points was kind of a benchmark in how to judge things. And, you know, maybe that'll jump up to 110 now is considered good if you hold a team under 110. But I think it's still too early and teams are kind of getting used to things.
All right, sir. Good stuff. We will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. See you.
Enjoy the game. Jason Quick, The Athletic, brought to you by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee, changerealtynow.com. So.
There's that.
No takes? No hot takes there?
It's just, I don't know.
Early?
I feel like guilty, but I'm buying in.
Why do you feel guilty?
Well, it's because we've been burned by this before.
Well, they're good.
But I don't know.
Wait, you're buying into what? Well, there's no doubt that they're a good team.
Yes.
There's no doubt about
that. There is no doubt about
that. So what are you buying?
Early in the season, there was doubt about that.
When I look at the West, and this is why I said I feel guilty, because you cannot judge off of 11 games. But you look around, and it's not as if I'm watching every Western team. It's like I'm sitting here, you know, absorbing, you know, the NBA tonight. I'll be home watching Carolina-Pittsburgh. By the way, Pittsburgh's defense looks freaking dynamite here early on in the NFL game. But I look around the West, and there is part of me that, like I said, I feel stupid for even saying it, but there is part of you that looks at it, and as you look through, you're like, why not? You know, with some of the teams that you thought were going to be in front of you appearing to be a mess, there is a little bit of that, why not, right?
Well, that to me is premature.
I know, and that's why I'm saying. That's why sometimes I'm like, why?
Okay, that's why, okay.
That's why I said that guilt, but I can't help but when I've watched this team, I find myself allowing my head to go there and say, well, why not?
Well,
and I think a lot of fans are doing that.
Yeah, and that would just be an exercise in futility.
Yes.
Because the league is so long. The season is so long. But the Blazers are good, and we knew that they would be good. It was just a matter of, you know, were they marginally better? Were they marginally worse? It looks like they're actually a little better.
Yeah.
Because of the way they've shifted Evan Turner and the shooters that they brought in.
And I look at it, and CJ wasn't playing particularly well, and you saw, not that he's going to score 40 a night, but when he gets it going, you'd like to believe that if Mo Harkless comes back, that's a huge upgrade from Lehman. And you look at the way the bench is playing and Evan Turner's new role, and you figure Zach Collins isn't going to get worse. He will continue to improve.
Yeah, but what? Okay, but see, if you're saying that means like this big, deep playoff run, I think you're, again, well, we can talk about that in February, March,
exactly,
and April. But the Blazers have been a good team ever since LaMarcus Aldridge left. You know, there's a line of demarcation there, right? Like they were a 50-win team with him, but he left. And ever since then, they've been a good regular season team with a winning record. They had the one year where they were a little weird right after everybody got paid. They kind of sucked, and then they brought in Nurkic, and they lit a spark, and they went into the playoffs. Got swept, but made the playoffs. But last year, I mean, they won 49 games last year.
I just think
the roster wasn't changed much. So I don't know where if there is a sentiment that, man, nobody thought they'd be any good or that they're now all of a sudden going to fall back into obscurity. I don't think any of that's going to happen.
It's just when you look,
they're a good team.
When you look around the West and you look at the way Portland's playing and you look at the way the rest of it is playing, whether you look at Oklahoma City or Memphis or the Jazz and Houston and LA, they seem so discombobulated, and it is such a long season, right? LA can get it figured out. Houston can get it figured out. Understand that. Minnesota is a mess. But you start looking at those teams that you thought were going to be above you, and they do look so jumbled, and Portland early on looks very good, and I think that's why you allow your mind to kind of go there and start asking, well, why not? You know, maybe this is a legitimate top three team in the West again, and then depending on playoff matchups, maybe it is a team that can make some noise. But it's 11 games in, and that's why I said I feel kind of dumb when I allow my head to go there.
You're on the Blazers bandwagon, bro. And Blazers Twitter, man. Somebody's gotten to you. Who's gotten to you? Is Olshay call you and tell you to say
like
these things?
He's been calling me Jace lately.
Jace.
He's sending me text messages. He's like, what's up, Jace?
Tell you what, you're a downright homer. I love it.
I will not allow myself to be that, but I do find my mind drifting there from time to time.
Well, I can take a crap on it if you'd like.
You're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You keep everything nice and balanced.
They're good, but they're no different than last year. And last year they were the 3 seed and they got swept. So we got a long way to go, bro. They won a playoff game in 10 tries.
I know.
10.
0-10. Hey, but if you listen,
but they'll
to the,
get there, damn
if
it.
You listen to the GM, bro, the Golden State ones don't even count.
Gotta bifurcate.
And then last year it was a tough matchup, and those don't really count. So bifurcate. Really, there's like they've lost like two in a row, like two games in a
row. They're a juggernaut. All right, it's 5:52 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well now it's time for the club. By the way, the Panthers were up 7-0 on the Steelers, and I literally blinked during the Jason Quick interview, and now it's 21-7 Steelers.
Yeah, what's the other Watt brother? TJ Watt had Newton around the waist, was 7-7, had him around the waist in the end zone. Newton just threw one up to get rid of it. Pittsburgh took it, ran it back, touchdown, and then punted to Pittsburgh right after that and marched right down on the field on him. I'm telling you, man, if Pittsburgh's defense early on was just an abomination early in the season. But they have seemed to figure it out, and they're playing much better. They haven't given up more than 20 points in a month. And the way this offense is playing, they haven't missed a beat without Bell. Pittsburgh looks legit, and I was not believing in Pittsburgh at all at the start of the year, and they're making believers out of me.
All right, coming up in the club, we've got the guy who wants to legally change his age, and we have audio. I think we have audio. Mike, get the audio. Teacher punches the...
I can if you'd like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's grab that.
Yeah, go find it.
That's been like 2 days coming.
Yeah. And
the teacher punches a student.
And I think it's what we've all wanted to do is punch a 14-year-old in the face. And he's becoming a bit of a folk hero, and money is pouring in.
For the teacher.
Yes.
Pro teacher.
Punch a kid in the face, get thousands of dollars.
All right. Club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.